And not only are you not making any money under this tax system, you're having to pay more tax than you're making.
So who actually suffers?
Tenants.
This is just going to lead to rents collectively going up.
You cannot tax your way to prosperity.
It's like squeeze them harder. Like, let more people live on benefits. Let more people... Oh, now we've got less jobs.
Labour say they've inherited a 30 billion black hole that they aim to fill through higher taxes. We've got the autumn budget coming next month. And we're going to be looking at some of the taxes that are being talked about and how they are going to affect property investors. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. So this is all stuff that's going on right now. Now, just to be clear up front, we don't know for sure. We won't know until November.
No.
Exactly what's coming in. But this is stuff that's been talked about. This is stuff that's been predicted. And we're going to talk about it, what we would do. I'd also love to know what you guys would do. If you were in charge of the budget and you're responsible for getting the economy moving again and plugging some of that black hole, what would you do? Let us know in your comments below. This is apparently what's being considered. So number one, this one's an almost certainty, by the way.
Okay.
National insurance on rental income.
Yeah.
So this is being seriously considered by the Treasury advisors, all the think tanks, and there's big, big talk about this. I'm very anti this.
Yes, I am too. But what they're trying to claim is if you have a normal job, so if you go and work at Marks and Spencer's and you earn £50,000,
yep,
you have to pay national insurance.
Yep.
So why should a landlord that earns £50,000 not have to pay national insurance on it? Like, that's their point. So they're saying, so therefore, a landlord that makes £50,000 should pay national insurance.
All right, here's my argument against it, right? My main argument, I think this is bad. I think Section 24, which came in 2016, is a lot worse. But let me give you this as a case study, right? So I've got a friend who has got a job, work, and they earn 50 grand a year, which is a decent job. It's not like outrageous. It's not like they're rolling in it, but it's a decent job, 50 grand a year. And they bought a property.
Yep.
And the property, they've got a mortgage on it. And I'm going to round the figures up to make it simple, right? But
simple
roughly...
Maths.
Simple maths, yeah. Quick maths. Roughly speaking, the mortgage they're paying is, it's interest-only mortgage, it's £1,500 a month.
Yeah.
And their rental income is £2,000.
So £500 profit, roughly.
Yeah, it might have some other costs to take, but let's just pretend they don't, just for simple terms. £500 a month. So before Section 24 came in, they would pay, if you go and work it out, tax on that £500 profit, which is £6,000. They pay tax on the £6,000.
Yep.
Now, as someone who's got a good job earning £50,000, the tax would be £2,346,
yep,
meaning that they're paying basically £2,400 in tax and they're making £3,600 in profit. So it's still quite a chunk of tax on that income. It's still, you know, 40% or whatever tax on their income. Once Section 24 came in, it basically says, oh, by the way, that mortgage interest, yeah, the vast majority of that you actually can't claim as a tax deductible expense. So in essence, you're paying your taxable income, rather than it being £6,000, is like £24,000, plus you get a little bit of tax credit back. So I ran the same numbers, same scenario, and they would now pay, under Section 24, £5,946 in tax, and make a profit of £54 over the year.
Wow.
So this is right now. So if you've got a property right now, and on paper, you're making £500 profit, all your profit is going on tax.
Yep.
Already. So this is already happening.
So it's almost like there's nothing left to tax.
Well, here it is, right? Throw in national insurance at an 8% rate.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the figures. Now, the tax on the property will be £5,946 the same, but then you've got national insurance on top of £1,920, meaning their profit for the year would be minus £1,866. So you can have a property reasonably successful on paper.
Yep.
You're making £2,000 in rent, your mortgage interest is £1,500, and not only are you not making any money under this tax system, you're having to pay more tax than you're making in profit. And by the way, this isn't like a, oh my goodness, what a ridiculous example. That's just a normal person who's got a decent, okay job,
well,
got a normal buy-to-let property.
Is going to create, two things are going to happen here. Either landlords are going to sell up and think, forget this, because why would you do it? Otherwise, it's like, oh, it costs me to be a landlord. Or, so you'll have mass, like, exits from landlords.
Yep.
Which is already happening.
It's us.
Or rents will go up.
Which is probably more likely.
Yeah.
Because this is going to hit landlords. It's not like, oh, one person's getting hit. Because if it's just you getting hit, you won't be able to up the rents.
No, but every landlord is going to struggle with this. Therefore, just collectively, the rents will go up.
Yeah.
So who actually suffers?
Tenants.
So they, again, it's the same old, same old. It looks appealing for the working man to be like, yeah, they're taxing the rich more, yeah. But actually, this is just going to lead to rents collectively going up so landlords can make some profit, because otherwise there will be no landlords and there will be no houses to rent.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing is, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that like this isn't going to affect large corporations.
Or any
corporations.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah, so your way around this, if you don't want to get hit by this, is when you buy your properties, buy them through a limited company.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you don't get hit by Section 24, it no longer applies, you won't get this national insurance. So yeah, they're trying to push landlord ownership to companies.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get rid of small landlords, accidental landlords, people that just try to save. This is what upsets me a little bit. It doesn't really affect me, right? Because, you know, most of our stuff we own through
companies anyway.
And stuff anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't really affect me. What kind of upsets me, though, is that they target, and we'll get a bit more into this later on, they're targeting a lot of small businesses.
Yeah. I feel
big
the same.
Businesses. I was doing a piece, doing some training, and I was giving some tax loopholes and how to get around it on a webinar. And someone said, oh, don't let Rachel Reeves see this. I'm like, Rachel Reeves knows about this.
Yeah.
But of course, it's not like, oh, we've pulled a fast one on the government. They know buy through a company. They know all the loopholes. They get it. It's deliberate.
Can use the loopholes.
The people that donate to the Labour Party and to Rachel Reeves, and they want this kept open. They just don't want you to know about it. They want you to buy it in your personal name and to get hit.
Yeah.
And they want to look good. They want all the Labour voters to be like, ha ha ha, hitting landlords. You're not hitting the rich landlords. You're not taxing the rich. You're hitting Joe Bloggs, whose mom died and he's renting out her house and he's got a job. That's who you're hitting.
Yeah. Which makes me really sad.
Yeah.
I kind of think, or it's hitting someone just wanting to slightly better themselves, invest in a few properties for a retirement fund, and now this will cripple them.
Yeah, exactly
and
that.
It's, yeah, the big corporations aren't going to suffer. The really rich property people aren't going to suffer. Do you think they're going to? No, of course they're not.
Yeah.
They're not going to leave the market. You're not going to find, like, isn't it something crazy, like, if you actually look on the top 100 rich list, what percent do property?
Some of the times rich list, if you'll see it again and again, I think it's 30, bear in mind it's all across all industries, like 30-odd% make their fortune from property.
Property.
Yeah.
They're not suddenly going to disappear. You're not going to go, where have those 30 dropped off to?
No. Like, well, do you know what they're going to do? They're going to buy all the Joe Bloggs' properties who now are forced to sell cheap, bad time to sell, sell now cheap. They're going to buy it up. Exactly. It's just dividing the gap. That's the first one anyway.
Yeah.
Number two, stamp duty is being rumoured
to be
replaced with an annual property levy instead. Now, what they're saying is, the problem with this is it's so unclear what it's actually going to look like.
Because I actually like the sound of this.
Yeah. Well, tell me why you like it first.
Okay, so the reason I like it is because at the moment, I think stamp duty is bringing house sales to like almost, especially around here, to almost like a standstill. We've spoken about this before, because actually the amount you'd pay in a one-off fee for stamp duty people are like, I'm not spending £250,000 on stamp duty. I'll do an extension. So no one's moving. Now, I personally like to move house, like to have the flexibility to move house, and stamp duty really puts you off because you think, oh no. Now, so for someone like me who loves to move, to not pay stamp duty, but then pay a little percentage every year, actually is brilliant. It would really help. And you just pay, what percent are they saying?
0.5%.
0.5% every year. Brilliant. I think that sounds amazing. Where I do think it's not going to be great, if you're the type of person that just wants to buy a house and live in it forever, you've bought your dream house, you want to live in it for the next 40 years, obviously eventually it's never ending, is it? Instead of having that one upfront payment, you are over a long period of time going to pay more than you would just a one upfront fee of stamp duty. But for me, I personally quite like it, because for anyone that's moving house, I think it's much, much better.
Yeah.
But I feel like, therefore, is that a bit too good to be true? Because it's the government and they're trying to make money, so...
Yeah, because bear in mind, there's a 30 billion black hole. Like, how can we fill this? It will be a way of raising the taxes. My worry is, replacing council tax sounds like a nightmare because it's so... Everywhere's banded. Just to replace it, it seems a bit unbelievable. I think it'd be more of replacing stamp duty because there's rumours of it replacing both.
But what about if you already paid stamp duty on your house? So like, we've bought this house, we've paid our stamp duty. Are we just going to be, oh, well, that's irrelevant now. If you've paid stamp duty, everyone's getting taxed 0.5%. Because that...
Well,
then
that's
just
the other
paying,
thing.
Like,
0.5% has been rumoured. Like, they do a similar thing in America, and it hovers around 1%. So now it starts, that's quite a lot, isn't it? 1% per year. And in the US, they also have it's not called stamp duty, but another type of tax you have to pay when you buy. So my worry is, with an additional tax, if it was just an outright replacement for 0.5%, I'd quite like it. What my worry is that they might scrap, say, stamp duty on, for example, your residential home.
Yeah.
But keep it for all the others and then introduce this on top across everything.
Yep.
Or something like
and
that.
The other problem is, once a tax is in, let's face it, over time it goes up, doesn't it? Because it goes, oh, wow, it was 0.5% 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We have to up it now. It's what, and then we'll look forward 20 years and you'll be going, remember when they didn't have that tax that now we have at 5% on every property just every year? Of course it's going to go up. I mean, you're delusional to think it's going to just stay at 0.5% forever. Of course it's not going to. So the minute they've got the rule in that, and everyone's like, okay, cool, we pay tax.
Yeah.
It's going to go up over time.
In principle, I do quite like the idea. If it's for resi houses.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's all houses. I quite like the idea just because... It's kind of giving you leverage, isn't it? So, for example, on a £1 million house, your stamp duty might be like 45 grand.
Yeah.
But if it was 5 grand a year, it's like, well, how many years have I got to own the house? So, yeah, ultimately, I will pay more. It might be, 9, 10 years by the time I've made a saving. But would I move every 9, 10 years?
I think
we would.
We would. I think not everyone does, but I'd say at least 50%.
I think it would do? I actually think it would encourage, because you're spreading out the payment, it would encourage more people buying.
I agree.
Which I think is a good thing.
I think it would get the market moving a bit again.
Yeah.
Because people would start moving and buying.
My worry is they're going to whack it on houses as well as stamp duty that are for landlords, basically. Yeah. Second homes, things like that. All right, well, we've decided we are going to bring it in, but we're going to keep stamp duty for second homes. And it's like, oh, great. Now we're doubling the tax. And of course, if they do that... If you got to pay 5 grand a year in, I don't know what they're going to call this tax, annual property levy.
On top of all your other...
You're going to put your tenants...
The rents are looking...
Up again. Oof, oh. Can you imagine the poor landlords that don't? They're going to be like, oh, I'm already paying 2 grand more in tax than I'm making. Now I've got to pay five grand a year in this tax. Absolute joke. All right, next, number three, VAT threshold cut. You're very unhappy about this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Explain why.
This one makes me very sad. Because I just think, again, doesn't affect me. We pay VAT. Like,
all our companies are VAT registered.
Yeah, so, but I remember back in the day when we ran our entertainment company.
We're like early 20s.
Early 20s. This was a big deal. When we started we'd put loads of effort in. We worked really hard. And we ran a business that wasn't business to business. So obviously, if you run a company that's business to business, it doesn't matter because everyone just can claim back the VAT.
Yeah.
But if you've got a business...
B2C. That,
yeah. Then, and you've got everything, haven't you? Like gardeners, people do it like car washing businesses. And it's all the young entrepreneurs that... want to do something out.
Well, just think about our car washing guys, right? Two guys run a little car washing business.
Yeah.
They're talking of cutting it, the VAT threshold, from 90 grand to 30 grand.
Yeah.
Now, they don't charge us VAT because between them, they ain't turning over 90 grand.
No.
But they'll be turning over more than 30.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means that when they come around and wash our car every week, they're going to have to add VAT on, which is 20%. Now, from our point of view, that's just meaning they're putting their prices up 20%.
Yeah.
How many of the customers, like us, are going to go...
And we might look elsewhere and go, oh, but Dave down the road does it cheaper. And it's a big deal. Adding on 20% is a big deal. And I remember back in the day, we chose to... do 10%. So we upped our prices by 10% for parties at the time. It was children's parties. And we took a 10% hit. But that was a scary time because upping your prices by 10%, like you say, if you charge what you think you can charge anyway, no one sits there thinking, oh, I could charge 20% more than this. But nah, I won't. You charge what is competitive at the time. So to up our prices by 10%, knowing we'll probably lose people because they'll book the, like, because at the time we had like 50 entertainers going around the country and we knew we couldn't like compete with the low prices that a one-man magician could charge because of course he's not going to be VAT registered because he's not going to be doing 90 grand.
Well, he would now.
But he would now. So we knew we were going to be more expensive than everyone. And on top of that, we were going to have to take a 10% hit on our profits as well.
But you could argue, though, at the size that we were, it's kind of fair enough. At 90, well, actually, I was just looking at it, but it was 70 grand back when, because I had the figure in my head, it was 70, obviously it's 90 now, 70 grand back when when we were doing this. This was like nearly 15 years ago. And it was 70 grand was the figure. And we realised by the time we'd hired a couple of people, it was probably a team of four or five of us. It was like, well, there's no way now. We're going to have to go over that. But that's kind of the advantage for a starter, someone up and coming. It gives them the sort of the chance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To give it a go. So 90 grand.
I kind of think fair. Fine. It still wasn't very nice at the time, but it worked. And
90 grand
it.
Is more than you'd expect. It's like a 2-3 person business.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, once you're going to get to that level, fine. 30 grand takes away that advantage for that small business.
That's just like one man being a plumber and doing it himself rather than working for a big corporation.
And interestingly, even 90 grand, 70 grand 15 years ago is the equivalent to, I've just asked ChatGPT, about the equivalent to about 110 today.
Well, yeah.
So this isn't a good example of how you get suckered in. It's like, it does go up. It's gone from 70 to 90. But in real terms, it's already dropped. It's probably the equivalent of being about 60 back. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Back then. So it is sneaky what they do, where they set the threshold and then inflation goes up more than the tax threshold goes up.
And I just think it's really sad. I think out of all the ones, taxes they're bringing in, this is the one that I really don't want them to bring in because I think... it will stop young entrepreneurs being able to give it a go because it's going to just become like they're trying to force that group of people out of the market, basically. They're making it too difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one I'm really against. I really hope this doesn't come in.
No, it's not good. It's not good. It's going to hit those small businesses, sole traders, people like that.
It's going to be a nightmare. I bet they are all panicking. At this company, would have been. I don't know if our company at the time, if it had come in that early on while we were setting it all
up.
Well,
bear in mind, because people say, I commented about this on LinkedIn and people are like, oh, it's a good thing. Like Yeah, so you don't pay the VAT anyway. The customer does. But like you mentioned, if you could charge 20% more, you would anyway. And if you're B2C, yeah. It basically means you've got to take some of the hit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't survive. If you're taking, let's say, a 10% or a 20% hit, that could be half your profit.
Yeah.
For a business. So it suddenly means, bang, you're making half as much money now because of this. It's very frustrating.
It is. I'm not.
That's your least
favourite.
The next one's my least favourite. Although probably you're being very very noble because it doesn't actually affect you. You're on behalf of the small. I'm actually being very selfish. So my least favourite one is this one. Mansion tax on £2 million plus properties. So this is just on top of everything else. It's not like, oh, this is going to replace stamp duties. No. This is just on top, just for a laugh. So
maybe it's because I've gone off my house because my house attacked me this week.
Well, do you want to explain why you're wearing a sling? Your house attacked you.
Yeah, maybe.
If anyone hasn't noticed, I like the way you've worn like a beige jacket.
To try and blend it in.
A sling-coloured jacket, so we can't really tell, but it's just you've got no hand.
No.
So basically, Anna was opening a cupboard. And in the act of opening a cupboard, she broke two fingers and made a whole lot of noise, broke the cupboard, and I had to rush her to A&E. Although I give the NHS a bit of credit, we were only there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and I'd been...
seen by three people.
And x-rayed.
You had the triage, you had the first nurse, then you had the x-ray.
Back to the nurse.
Gave you a sling. I don't think she needs a sling. I think she just said... She said to the nurse,
well, I wanted to make sure I got princess treatment.
I want to make sure that my husband, you know, knows how serious this is. Can you give me a sling? And they were like, what for? It's your fingers that are broken. And she was like, look, give me a damn sling. Or either that or a leg cast.
Yeah,
I'll take
totally,
either.
Totally what happened. No, it hurt a lot. And the worst bit was when I got there, my fingers were all swollen and they decided they needed to get my ring off.
Well, of course, they had to pull it over the broken fingers. That must have been.
Did hurt. No, to be honest, I was very shocked by the sling. I was like, brilliant.
When you asked for it? No, in all seriousness, I was very, very concerned about the broken cupboard door.
Yeah, I can imagine you were. Yeah. It's now just lying on the kitchen floor.
Terrible.
No, it was bad. So yeah, smashed up my two fingers. Got to wear this sling for 2 weeks.
You can't even flip the V at the kitchen. You can't.
No.
It's like, I can't move my feet. Nightmare. All right. So mansion tax, 0.5% annual tax, just for the hell of it, on any property worth over 2 million. This is, I imagine, very popular among voters. Haha, tax the rich. Yeah, we got them. 0.5%, all homes over 2 million. On paper, it sounds like a great way of making the wealthy pay more. My issue with this is I don't think you should be taxed on where you're not getting paid.
No.
You're not getting paid for owning the property. There'll be people, right, who live in London, who bought a house for 250 grand, I don't know, 30 years ago, worked all their life, they're finally retired, it's tipped over the 2 million valuation, and boom. Just for owning the asset. Right, you've now got to pay 12 and a half grand a year.
Yeah.
But I'm on a pension. I'm not earning any money. Sorry, you're wealthy or sell it.
Because the truth is, not everyone who owns a house over £2 million is cash rich.
No.
They might have that as an asset, like you say. What about if you've inherited it? And it's just like...
Well, this is the issue with inheritance tax, right? Because like, what happens... It's the same problem.
How are they going to pay that?
You get given a house... And it's like, right, the house is worth 500 grand. You owe us 200 and something grand extra. I mean, to be fair, let's say a house, actually, you do get a tax-free allowance on your house. But an example, you get given an asset and it's over a certain amount. It's like, right, you've now got to pay that. And you don't have the money. You've got to sell the asset to pay the tax.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to happen to people with this. People are going to be forced into selling their asset, which is just
saved up all their life, bought their dream home, but it happens to just be over 2 million for retirement. And like you say, then they're like, no, you've got to pay this. It's so unfair. I feel like, yeah, I think, again, I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to be that bothered.
No, like, people will be pleased. People will be but people are idiots.
Yeah.
Everyone wants people. They say, tax the rich, tax the rich. It's like, hold on a second. How do you get to decide who's rich?
Yeah.
Because if we look at the whole world, if you live in this country, you're probably considered rich just living here.
Yeah.
But oh no, just anyone that's richer than me
is rich and too rich. Yeah.
Here's my big issue with this, though. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I'd love to get your thoughts as well in the comments. And I'd love to know what you would do if you were in charge of the budget. All four of these ideas have got something in common.
Yeah.
They don't help to grow the economy. What they actually do is squeeze the people who are already paying taxes, the people who are already producing. You cannot tax your way to prosperity.
No.
Back in 2008, Labour did something good, which is unusual. And what they did was when they wanted to grow the economy, they cut VAT.
Yep.
And what that did is it caused people to spend more because now people have got more money because everything's cheaper. And that is what actually grows the economy.
Yeah, not...
They should be encouraging people that are producing... producing in this country.
Yep.
People that are creating jobs. People that are bringing value. They should be given tax breaks. They should help us to get spending again.
Yeah.
Potentially, the stamp duty one could do that if implemented right.
Yeah.
I've just got a horrible feeling it
won't.
It won't
be. But yeah, I totally agree. And I think what sums it up so well is why is England falling apart and why is a country like Dubai thriving? And their biggest difference is Dubai like, oh, you want to help the economy? You want to thrive? Welcome. And encouraging people to be entrepreneurial, to be successful, to do better, to help. And they're like, look, we'll all work together. If you want to bring to our economy, come over. England are hindering and squeezing anyone that's doing anything good and are trying to better themselves. It's like, squeeze them harder. Like, let more people live on benefits. Let more people... Oh, now we've got less jobs. Oh, more people on benefits. Oh, squeeze, tax the rich. Oh, the rich are leaving though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because, and I just think it's such a negative, horrible cycle to be in.
It is. I'd love to see what happens if reform get in next time. Because we've got this 30 billion black hole. We're spending 5.4 billion on housing illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
You would, if they could cut the spending, you wouldn't have thought it would take very long.
No.
Within their sort of 4 or 5 years, whatever they're in power for, you think you should be able to sort that out.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Anyway, love to know your thoughts. I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
We'll see you next week.